This morning I will be reading from, for this morning's devotion, from Proverbs 19. And it speaks of the mindset of what could definitely reflect our world today. And you may find it, as I find it difficult to watch news nowadays, or read news, or if you get it on the internet, or maybe you get it on the radio. It seems you don't know what to believe, and it's a little bit disturbing when you're unsure of if the news is trying to sneak past a small little lie, or if they're pushing through a blatant agenda that they have. It seems to be on the increase. And the world is far more concerned with pushing their own agenda, it seems like. And they want to accept every kind of perversion out there. They want to call it good, whether they be sexual lust, selfishness, hate, or greed. They actually report to this rather than true news. And so they are truly calling evil good and good evil. There are, of course, many good news outlets that you can find out there. There's some Christian ministries that report. Well, Friends of Israel even gives reports from around the world what is going on. Gives from a biblical perspective. But there are even good secular news agencies, I would say. But we have to be discerning of all information, receiving by judging it against the Word of God, His truth. The truth of God's Word is absolutely amazing, how perfectly accurate it is, and we can measure it even in our day that we live. But then again, the author, our Lord God, is perfect, so it should be no surprise. As I mentioned, this morning I'll be reading from Proverbs, most likely written by Solomon, one of the most wise men, and they are words written roughly 3,000 years ago, and how they can apply to our lives in the day we live today. So Proverbs 19, verses 1, 2, and 3. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. You may notice immediately that it starts off with one positive expression of your status, one truth of way of living. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. And then the remaining statements in these three verses, it mentions at least five negative expressions, five negative ways of living, of false ways, being perverted, unwise, hasty, foolish, and fretful. And you can similarly, regardless of the innumerable false ways or stories you may hear of living in this world, there can only be one true way. And that's the way that our Lord has told us to live. For He is the truth and the way. And they recognize they have a need that they cannot fill. As we read, it says, verse 1, better is the man. This better means good, morally good, to be poor. So when someone is poor, not just speaking of a financial point of view, but what does that mean? That means you're in want, if you need something, or you hunger for something. It doesn't necessarily mean you don't have money. It means that there's some things money can't buy. You hear that. This means that you have a desire for something that you cannot fill yourself. And they recognize that they cannot do it themselves, so they have to seek elsewhere. And it's the Lord that we seek. That's why Jesus wrote in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And likewise, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's not of our own filling, it's of what God fills when we ask. So it's better to be poor that walk in His integrity. Now, the word walk, you get the idea of it's an action. It's not something that you just sit idly by. You have to actively respond. You often hear actions speak louder than words. Well, this verse would definitely apply to that, for it says that we have to walk in his integrity. And then it goes on to say, to contrast that with, he that is perverse in his lips. So here we have walking in integrity and perverse lips. Actions certainly do speak louder than words. And there's a figurative meaning to this walk. It means to die and live. A new life, a new manner of living. And this way of thinking and living is now contrast, as I mentioned, with the next five negative ways of living, which I believe reflect the mindset of many, especially ones with voices in our world today. Firstly, verse 1 continues by contrasting the better way with the one who is perverse in his lips and a fool. They are twisted, crooked, and in Proverbs 2, verses 12 and 15, they are called evil. In Proverbs 2, 12 and 15, we read, to deliver them from the way of the evil man, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. See, they live this way out of foolishness and arrogance, not giving reverence and glory to the Creator, our Lord Jesus. In Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24, speaks of we glory not in ourselves but in God alone. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorifieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. We cannot glory in our own works. We cannot glory in the things that we think we can accomplish. But all glory belongs to God. In verse 2, it says that in addition, that the soul of a person be without knowledge is not a good either. This isn't speaking of just education and the intellect of a being. That can be good and it can be bad as well. But that is worldly knowledge that only affects our circumstances in the life here, which is very temporal. It has no lasting benefit. No, we are to have the wisdom of God through the leading of his Holy Spirit. That is the knowledge we are called to know. This is called good, and the lack thereof is, of course, not good. It lacks goodness, for only God is good. So if you subtract God from your life, how can goodness come in? And this is exactly what we are seeing today. And perhaps you could look at Europe as being a very good test to this. For it once was a stronghold for Christianity. Now you see many churches closing. And in place, synagogues are being, mosques. Thank you. Synagogues wouldn't be so bad. But those are closing too, because they're getting such attacks. Mosques are opening up, and there's definitely a change that has been measured in Europe. And that's not to say that there isn't hope. God always gives us hope, and he can always make changes within a society. But we see the decline because churches have closed and people have stopped going to churches and believing and trusting in God. And so goodness goes away with it. Likewise, we read in verse 2 that it's not good to be hasty with your feet, for it leads to sin. To be hasty actually means to urge or insist your own way or your own agenda, to not adhere, to not submit to a higher authority, but to push your own. You are unwilling to change, to be humble, and so walk in sin, denying the help and correction of God. And lastly, in verse 3, it says, it's foolishness to pervert his way. Once again, the word pervert insinuates a twisting of the truth. People often trust and completely pervert truth to fit their sinful lifestyles. An example of this would be the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman and how that has been changed in societies. Trying to redefine that, or trying to redefine the way people identify as their gender, as something different, something new. This is complete foolishness and nonsensical, because they have their minds of perversion and lack the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord God. They have determined in their heart to fret. The word fret means to actually be enraged against the Lord. And because they have insisted and promoted these perversions, the Bible says God has given them up to their vile affections. See, God is gracious. He is wanting all to come to him, and he gives all opportunities. But when people absolutely deny him repeatedly, it says that he gives them up to their vile affections. In Romans 1, verses 26 to 32, Romans 1, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Boy, if you could look at this list and you think, well, I'm not one of these things, disobedient to parents, that's one that I think we definitely can all relate to in one way or another. But in many of these, we can say in our hearts, if we've thought them, God says, if you've thought them in your mind, it's as if you did them. In verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit these things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them doing them. They take pleasure. They know that it's wrong, and yet they take pleasure in it, and so have hardened their hearts. These are not easy things to talk about, but it's a reality in our societies that affects us, that we see. And we know that we have all fallen short, but God is willing to forgive. We live in a day of grace, where if we come to him in repentance, he is willing. And he can change the heart of any. And so may we choose that better way, continue to choose that better way. The poor who walks in his integrity, to show the world a better way, a life of submission and repentance before Christ Jesus. And in doing so, may we also pray for the lost to know Jesus and to bring glory to our Lord God, that they would no longer take pleasure in the wickedness of man and this world, but rather be convicted and desire to have a circumcised heart, as Jesus has told us to have, to be a part of God's holy kingdom, and to live in obedience to our righteous, holy God. And so may we be encouraged, for he who tarries will not tarry forever, and with him comes judgment to this world. But we live still in a day of grace, where work can be done and change can be made. So may we take that opportunity as we live today and be encouraged of the hope we have in our Lord God.